Hi, everybody. Welcome to episode 122 of the Spartans in Pajamas podcast. I'm your host, Loz, and as always, we have Dolph.
Hello.
We have Star.
Hello.
And we've got Spark as well.
Hello.
We are currently running a little bit shy on the ground at the moment with extras, but I don't know. We'll have to make it after reach out to the widest.
Real life and all that.
Yeah. You know. I'll have to reach out to the wider Spartans as well, see if we can get maybe a few other people in that we don't usually have. Sorry, if I sound a bit made up on that. My plumber came on Monday to fix my boiler, and in going to fix my boiler on the Monday, this is Wednesday, by the way, on Monday, he came up to me and went, yeah, we've got a problem with the boiler. I went, is it fucked? And he went, yeah, this thing here where I was trying to take off broke. And it's a whole new boiler, or like £300 worth of replacement parts for this very old boiler. And I'm like, okay, because I'll have a word with the landlord and we'll get you a new boiler. So that's coming on Friday, so I've got to wait two more days. So if I'm a bit made up with cold and a bit chesty, it's because I've been keeping the house as warm as I can, but when you're using electric heaters and hot water bottles and stuff, you can only get so far when it gets down to nearly freezing.
I do that. You don't use electricity too much because power, electricity,
yeah,
and costs.
At least I'm not using any gas at the moment. That's the good thing. Like, there's nothing in the house that runs gas apart from that. The only negative side is any hot water I need, I have to boil. So, other than that, it's not been a bad week. Not really. Valentine's Day came and went. I had zero interest displayed to me towards Valentine's Day, so that's another Valentine's Day exactly how it goes. How about you guys? How do you get on, Dolph?
Yeah.
Wow. How's your
yeah, just
Star,
another day, really.
How about you, Star? How was yours?
Yeah.
Fuck me, Dolph. Spark, at least have more than one word.
Yeah, it's alright.
Hey, I mean, it's still fucking short as fuck, but that was three bits.
I got a single red rose. I got a card, and I got a dragon. But it wasn't a dragon; it's a fucking triceratops.
Well, that was
she bought me a fucking cuddly toy. She thought it was a bloody dragon because I like dragons. It ain't. It's a fucking triceratops.
It's still a lizard of sorts, so. The thought
everyone
was there.
As soon as I said it was dragon, all of the kids looked at it and went, what, that triceratops?
Is it behind
every
that triceratops there?
So, yeah. But yeah, that was after telling me we're not doing anything for Valentine's.
Actually made you like a proper twat because you didn't do anything.
No, I felt like shit, yeah. So I went out like a loony and managed to get some stuff after waiting for fucking engineer that didn't show up all day. Yeah, got a card, some flowers, single red rose, and a nice little four mix of ice cream tubs.
Mm.
So yeah, not too bad an evening.
Very nice.
Dolph got going back to me and Dolph got a McDonald's yesterday, so
like McDonald's and a bit of dry humping, there you go. That's your lot.
We used to, but we don't anymore, do we, Dolph?
No.
Well, dry hump. It's just my
just, just Valentine's Day in general. It's too commercialised now.
I don't do it just because there's no one really that I do it for. I got one of my friends a rose because it's like their first proper Valentine's Day where they're not in a marriage, they're not doing anything thingy, and like, I just want some daft, so I went, here you go. Here's a plastic rose. Enjoy. And I said I'd get them one every year while we're mates. And I said, so in about 30 years' time, you have this huge fucking bush of plastic roses somewhere in your house. That was like the most like Valentine's-y thing I did. But other than that, I didn't fuck all. Just stayed at home. Oh, that was it. Now, I know what I did. I know what I did for Valentine's Day. I played the brilliant romance simulator called Dead Space and completed that.
Hey.
I made them whole. If you've played Dead Space, you know exactly what I mean when I say I made them whole. Interesting thing, we can talk about that actually later on. Can you put in Dead Space? Because now I've finished it, I can give you my full thoughts on it. If you can add that to the topic list.
I'll add it now.
Cool. But I'll talk about that later on and just I have thoughts and things. So if we've got through the pre-ramble, which was very short this week, considering most of you didn't have more than four fucking words to say.
Yeah.
Fuckers. So the first topic is custom cards for podcasts. Now, this was a thing that promotional thing wise Spotify did. So I can post this promotional card link and it will take you directly to our Spotify page. So if you see tweets now with the episode number and then this generic card, if you click on that generic card, it'll take you to the podcast page where all our podcast episodes are stored, including the latest one as well. So I think going forward we might do that instead of link to that episode, because then that way you've got a choice. Do you listen to the latest episode? Have you missed a few episodes? Do you want to catch up? You have a choice there. So you can go back three or four episodes maybe and go, oh, I missed that episode. Or what do they think about this? And
finally, well, if you've got a road trip, that's like hours upon hours, put them back to back.
Yeah, queue up a few. So, but yeah, that was like the thing for that. We found it. They actually said, hey, we can promote your podcast and stuff. So I think Spotify and Anchor are on a bit of a tear to get their brand out there. And we're doing it by saying, hey, our podcast is on Spotify. Come and have a look. So, and then, you know, if people stay, they stay. If they go somewhere else, they go somewhere else. But, you know, it's got us seen. So yep. I think if everybody can start doing that, if you've got Twitter and stuff, just and you're a fan of the show, tweet out that or retweet. Because at the moment it's only me that posts the retweets and stuff, so I might have to start nudging everyone in the Spartans and be like, oi, fuckers, retweet this, please. Make an account, retweet, get us noticed. That was that one. Was this me or was this you? This is you, the second one.
So for those who can remember, there was a comedy called 40 Towers back in the late 70s, early 80s, I like to say.
Yep, it ran for two series. There was like 20, I've got them on my iPad somewhere. It was like 20 episodes.
So this is from Deadline.com. 40 Towers reboot in the works with John Cleese, Camilla Cleese, and Rob Reiner's Castle Rock Entertainment. So Basil Fawlty is back. A reboot of John Cleese's British comedy sensation of 40 Towers is in the works, and Rob Reiner's Castle Rock Entertainment is developing it. More than 40 years after the second and final season drew to a close, Monty Python star Cleese is set to write and star alongside daughter Camilla Cleese in news that will bring joy to a generation of British comedy fans. The new series will explore how Cleese's over-the-top, cynical, and misanthropic Basil Fawlty navigates the modern world. Plot details are largely being kept under wraps, but the development will bring the story forward to explore Basil's relationship with his daughter he has just discovered he had, and the pair tempt fate and team up to run a boutique hotel. The Cleeses have joined with Rayner's Castle Rock on the development, with Rayner Michelle Rayner. Do you know what? The one thing they'd nix had a fucking comma, they would a comma. Derek Rossi and Matthew George exec producing. John Cleese praised George's understanding of the creative process and described their first meeting as one of the best creative sessions I can remember. Rob Reiner added, John Cleese is a comedy legend. Just the idea of working with him makes me laugh. While George described meeting John and Camilla Cleese as one of the greatest thrills of my life. Castle Rock is currently working on another sequel to a much-loved British classic, This is Spinal Tap, along with a sequel to 2017's Wind River, the next chapter.
Okay. Bye, Dolph. Well, while Dolph reconnects, I'd just like to point out that I was wrong. There wasn't 20 episodes of Fawlty Towers. There was only 12. You dropped when you were talking about the.
I noticed when my phone went. Blah, 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 blah. So where did I drop?
You were talking about Spinal Tap and the other one, and then it was like that paragraph after you started on.
Yeah. Okay, so although it only ran for 2 6-part seasons, finishing 79, 40 Towers have ranked number one on numerous best all-time British comedy lists.
It's fucking great.
Written by Cleese and Connie Booth, the show followed hapless hotel manager Fawlty and a hilarious cast of characters included legendary Spanish waiter Manuel, Cleese's bossy wife Sybil, and their chambermaid Polly, played by Booth. The idea came from Cleese's stay at a hotel in an English seaside town, and the show came to define the Middle England genre. Fawlty Towers currently airs on BBC Two and is available to stream on BritBox. Cleese, whose credits include Monty Python, A Fish Called Wanda, and Shrek, has become something of a culture warrior in recent years. He most recently slammed the BBC for failing to show repeats on Monty Python, a claim that was pushed back on. He is making a documentary about cancel culture for Channel 4 and plans to host a show for right-leaning UK network GB News that will champion free speech. Yeah, getting a bit political here.
Well, I think that's the thing, that the BBC is very... We're inclusive unless it's not quite right. And I think Monty Python very, very clearly back in the day blurred edges. And I don't think they're too comfortable with that, so...
There's a lot of things that were more acceptable now, which we now consider very politically incorrect.
Yeah. And I think that's the thing with... there's a British... like Freeview channel or Freesat channel called Talking Pictures TV, and it literally states in some front of some of these shows, this was filmed in this day when the beliefs and cultural differences were not as politically correct as they are today. So please bear that in mind when you watch this. These are not reflective of today's standards for thinking. And they basically warn you that, of course, it's not going to be politically correct. Because it wasn't back then. Back then, things were more acceptable that are not acceptable now.
Yeah, a bit like Bottom. That was very
fuck me, Bottom was
politically incorrect back then, and definitely even more so nowadays.
Was like, was it nowadays politically incorrect show would be Rick and Morty, really? And that now, especially with everything that we found out last podcast, that could be quite. It can be quite foreshadowing for a change of correctness. But, Monty Python was great. Monty Python was also fucking weird. You probably could take drugs and be completely freaked out by it, or mellowed by it, or...
Or you still understand it, what the fuck's going on.
Yeah. But it was just, like, you had the spam song, you had the fish slapping thing... Ministry of Silly War.
The knight who kept getting all his limbs cut off and just.
Well, that was more the films. I'm talking about the actual TV series.
Oh, that was the Holy Grail, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Was it?
There's like the dead parrot. Although they did do the dead parrot skit in one of the films as well. Fawlty Towers sounds cool. The only issue is. I think Connie Booth was John Cleese's ex-wife, so I don't think she'll appear in it. Andrew Sachs, who played Manuel, died, so I don't know who would take his place, if there is a Manuel Jr. or something like that. But even then, is that politically correct to have a Spanish waiter who doesn't speak a jot of English to be bullied and ridiculed? I don't know. I mean, back in the day, that was acceptable, and fuck me, did they play that funny. And it was funny, because... He wasn't stupid. But this was the point of Fawlty Towers. Like, Basil Fawlty was a shit human being who would ridicule and be nasty to everyone he can as long as it made him money. And he could get what he wanted out of things.
Quick point. Apparently Connie Booth didn't know about the reboot.
Did she not?
It's been reported, apparently, on the news channels.
Well, because another reason why he didn't make it past two series was that those two got divorced after the second series came out. And because she co-wrote the original series with him, pretty much, it was very hard for them to go forward with any of like the ideas they had.
Joint programs, as it were.
Yeah, it's kind of like how Red Dwarf kind of sucked ass for a while after Rob Grant and Doug Naylor split, but then it had a resurgent because the guy remembered how to write comedy, the singular guy, and it was good again. Some of the stuff they've done on Dave for that is brilliant. I'm interested to see how this Fawlty Towers reboot works. I imagine it's going to be like, there's going to be some kind of trigger warning in front of it saying, like, this guy is completely 20, 30 years in the past, where being an old shithead that he is, none of this is politically correct. So bearing that in mind, we're more laughing at him than him taking the piss out of people. But it'd be interesting. I'll give it a look.
I like the... I remember watching it back in the day, and like, I think I've still got the DVDs, and I love the relationship that Manuel and Basil had, like, you know, with the, like, especially the tray scene. So funny.
Well, was it one of the things they said about Fawlty Towers? There was a scene where Basil hits Manuel around the head with a frying pan, and John Cleese reaches round, grabs the wrong frying pan out off the set and clunks him around the head with a proper frying pan, not the prop one.
Oh, ow.
So him going down and like going on the floor is Andrew Sykes, getting fucking knocked the fuck out almost. Fawlty Towers, I grew up watching the reruns as a kid. Prez has watched it. He watches like Dad's Army and stuff as well. It's a good show. You've just got to be aware that if you show it to your children, you've got to point out that this is not how it goes these days. If you do that in real life, you're going to get fucked.
Mm-hmm.
But this was how it was in like the late 70s, maybe even early 80s, you'd find people like that. Very backwards people who were just fucking evil at times just to get their way in world. But yes. So, speaking of reboots... I need to click on this link because I didn't click on it. I just posted it and just went. So, hey, do you remember that pink, purpley fucking monstrosity Barney the Dinosaur?
Yes, unfortunately.
Yeah. It's getting a reboot animated series in 2024.
I mean, I would have put Mr. Blobby, to be fair.
We all love Mr. Blobby. He used to fuck with Noel Edmonds. It was great.
Yep, that's why we love him.
So this is from the escapistmagazine.com. And I am full of snot, so I apologise. I'm just going to take a quick drink. Okay. Barney the Dinosaur is coming out of extinction. Mattel has announced a reboot of the beloved children's franchise. By the way, I put a comma in there. Depending on whom you ask, in brackets. With a new animated series set to premiere in 2024... along with other media such as in film. Okay, who wrote this fucker? Christina Alexander. Come on! Along with other media such as film would have worked. Such as in film. Why? Why did you need to add three more words? Are you paid by the letter? To go along with the reboot announcement, Barney has received... a CGI redesign that took everyone on the internet who grew up watching the purple dinosaur comma in his classic costume on a trip down memory lane with a side of whiplash. That was way too fucking long. What? The new look part of the animated show, which will be produced by Nelvana, the Canadian animation studio known for The Magic School Bus, Beetlejuice, and Gargoyles, the Goliath Chronicles. Why would you say Gargoyles? Who the fuck remembers Gargoyles? You remember Gargoyles, but we don't. Fred Sully and Christopher Keenan will serve as exclusive producers for the Mattel television, along with Colin Boehm, Doug Murphy, and Pam Westman for Nelvana. Barney's message of love and kindness has stood the test of time, said Josh Silverman, Chief Franchise Officer and Global Head of Consumer Products at Mattel. In other words, they're going to make a fucking Barney dinosaur stuffed toy again. We will tap into the nostalgia of a generation who grew up with Barney, now parents themselves, and introduce the iconic purple dinosaur to a new generation of kids and their families across the world as content, products, and experiences. Fuck me.
Yeah, the new generation kids will be like, what the fuck is this shit?
Exactly.
Yep, pretty much.
Barney is a dinosaur that's a fucking abomination.
Is it computerized? No, don't want to know.
Sully, who serves as SVP and General Manager at Mattel Television, added, in creating the new series, it was important to we properly reflect the world of the kids today live in so that the series can deliver meaningful lessons about navigating in it. My words. Basically, they want it to appeal to today's audience and actually make sense.
Yeah.
With our modern take on Barney...
It didn't make sense back then, so...
You know, it's fucking weird. With our modern take on Barney, we hope to inspire the next generation to listen, care, and dream big. We think that parents, many of whom fondly remember the original Barney from their own childhoods, will love the show too. I remember... When did Barney come out? Fuck, man, let me have a look.
Early 80s, I think?
No, it was like 90s. 94, 95? 92. I was 7.
92? 92. I don't remember that.
Fuck me. It went from April 6, 92 to fucking 2nd of November 2010. Shit the bed. 18 years.
Yeah, they milked it. It was a bloody rock star special.
Apparently it was based on a book called Barney and the Backyard Gang. Anyway, where were we? In addition to the new animated series reboot, Barney will also be featured in new movies, YouTube videos, and music, as well as products marketed towards preschoolers, including books and toys. Fucking called it!
So basically how it used to be back in the 90s then?
Yeah.
Minus the YouTube.
Yeah. Adult fans who are now parents of preschoolers will be getting clothes and accessories that feature classic Barney designs. And by classic designs, we hope we mean the ones shown in the 90s series and not the original 80s design that with a dark shade of purple. Like I said, the book was darker. So... Dolph, you were kind of right when you said 80s, because that was when the original book came out, and then the 90s yes. was...
And they TV adapted it.
Yeah. Okay, next topic, tea candles.
Yeah, so you know when you go to a restaurant, you have tea candles on the table, all nice and cozy, you have your meal?
Yep.
Yeah, just say we had two people on not Sunday Just Bean, but the last Sunday, I think it was. So literally the same Sunday of the week of the podcast we had from 2 weeks ago. So we had this group who came in, lit a tea candle, you know, sitting around the table, having a laugh, eating their food, and then they left. I went to go clear their table, and they left the window at the back, and on the table strewn around was napkins. And they didn't blow out the candle, did they?
They nicked the candle.
No, they didn't nick it. They didn't fucking blow it out.
What, did you tell them to blow it out?
They'd already fucked off before I realised.
See, our customers like literally don't do that. It's like we have to go and leave them running or burn, like blow them out ourselves.
I mean, I was like, oh well, there's napkins blowing around, you know, near the flame. I thought, fuck, about extinguish out before it gets fucking fired, get catch on fire. So we had another group of lads in who booked a table at the back. They lit a candle by the menu holder. And they had their food, and they bid them farewell. I looked over on the table. I was like, "Oh, okay, this." I'm sure they lit a fucking candle, but I couldn't see it. But because it's quite light outside, it's only when it got dark outside, I noticed the reflection of the candle flickering in the window.
Yeah.
I was like, okay, they put the candle lit behind the fucking menu rack on their windowsill. Near a very flammable and highly combustible fucking thin net curtain. I was like, are people this really fucking dense?
Yes, we work in public trade industry of a pub.
There goes Dolph again.
Bye, Dolph.
Yes, I think this is going to be this for the episode, is Dolph is in and out, in and out, check it all about.
My connection went a bit...
yeah, mine went fucky there as well.
Mine's been holding true, from what I can tell.
I mean, the third drop I've had in about, what, half hour?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, yeah, it's just... can't understand some people's mental capabilities.
Mate, we work in a pub trade. The mental facets and facilities that their brain is capable of is very diminished to begin with because they've been drinking alcohol.
So I mean, they even they can still ask alcohol when they're diminished.
Their, like, just general thought processes seem to be nil. I always joke that when we light the candles and the thing, I'm like, there you go. Now I've lit the candle, you can hold hands. I say that to everyone, even the guys.
Like, yeah, hold and hands, do not, for the love of God, sing fucking Kumbaya.
Oh, no, I never said that. I just went, you can hold hands, but no kissing.
I suppose.
Yeah. I have to do something to make my life interesting when I'm working in a pub, because when you do the same job for as many years as me and Dolph has, you have to find silly little things to fuck around and do to
pass the days.
Yeah.
So I've got a staff meeting coming up soon. I might suggest to my manager what you did the other week with the Wanker of the Week bingo card. See what they say.
Pub bingo.
Yeah, pub bingo. Only the staff know about it. And like I said, had the things on there like, oh, and a Guinness. You know, fucking certain drinks. No pleases or thank yous. First one to get their fucking card filled out, gets a bottle of wine or something.
Yeah, you can do that.
Be witnessed.
Would be good.
I just have one more.
Go on.
No, I'm saying, well, I suppose another thing, phrase that you two hear a lot is people are like, just have one more. Just have one more drink.
I think the most common phrase we get is, I'll have one for the road, and then I'll be like, 4 points later, I'll have this one for the road. Well, how many fucking roads are you going now?
I can say, some of the regulars are like, I've got one more in me, I think, and then I'm going to go, and then they're there an hour later, and I'm like, so what time am I throwing you out then? Now, the most common one for us is probably because we don't do energy drinks and, like, silly shots. So the most common ones for us are like, oh, you can have 4 Jaeger bombs. Nah, mate. Why not? Because we don't do Jaeger. We'll have a vodka Red Bull. Don't do energy drinks. What the fuck do you do then? Well, Sambuca or tequila. Ooh, I'll have a Sambuca then.
I'm surprised you didn't say fucking tequila with lemon and salt.
But then they go, have you got black Sambuca? No, we've got regular Sambuca. You sure you haven't got black Sambuca? No, we've got this one. It's got a blue label. So you haven't got black Sambuca then? No, we don't have black Sambuca. 4. I'm sorry, that's the amount of time.
I keep dropping and I have no idea why.
Has there been an update for the mobile app recently?
I don't know. I can quickly check while it's in the background, but that's like the fourth time I've dropped now.
Because it might be that. It might be that you're using an older version and it's just going...
updated yesterday.
Weird.
Let's refresh.
Okay.
No updates apart from yesterday.
Do you want to quickly force close the app and then restart and we'll wait?
Yeah, okay, one sec.
Oh, chocolate. It's the Dairy Milk Dime Bar, by the way. Very nice.
Okay.
Welcome back.
Let's see how that holds. While we do that, I'm going to quickly check if there's any other problems, but yeah, I'll what's the next topic? Was
Paco Rabanne.
Yeah.
Another fashion designer, perfume, fragrance, fashionista person. I don't know where this one came from because I didn't see that come up in the topics.
No, added just in case you've got any celebrity deaths.
No.
Yeah.
Yeah, 88 years old. So fucking hell, they've been going a while. So yeah. So now your Paco Rabanne stuff, especially if it's originally stuff that he made himself, or anything he's signed in that, is now worth three times more than it was before. Fuck it, let's go and see if I can find anything on him. Copy, paste. Yeah, it was perfume and fragrances. Oh, motherfucker, what a name. So, Paco Rabanne died at home at Port Sol, Pula de Mazizu. I think I got that right. It sounded like I got it right. Fuck knows if I got it right or not. I don't care enough to find out if I got it right or not. On the 3rd of February, aged 88. Doesn't say what he died of, but it sounds like probably peacefully at home is the thing that they're looking at. So, next topic. So, there was rumblings for a while that Linkin Park had unreleased songs with Chester Bedingfield, who... Was it Chester Bedingfield? I can't remember if that's his name or not. But Chester from Linkin Park, who took his own life through depression like a year or two ago.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it turns out for the 20th anniversary of Meteora album, also I feel really old because that album is now 20 years old, there is a special edition of the album coming out. It's £60. So about $70 maybe-ish. But you get 89 songs. So you get the original album. You get two or three different live performances, albums chucked in there. You've got the unreleased and demos. And I think some B-sides as well. I'm going to look it up on my phone again because I just doom-scrolled quickly to see what it was. So, Linkin Park. Wow, I had to put L in and that was it. Meteora 20th anniversary. It's expected to be out on the 7th of April. So it's got the first 13 is the actual proper original album. And there's Live in Texas. Live in Nottingham 2003. LP Linkin Park U Rarities, and that's 19 songs. Live Rarities from 2003 and 2004, and then there are 14 demos. One of them they released recently called Lost, and the video and that's out for that now. And it's just, it's weird to hear more Linkin Park with Chester, even though, like, he's gone. It's just so odd. But if you have the £60 and you have that, like, because it's probably going to be album only, those, like, 14 songs that are demos and unreleased, that would probably be worth the barrier to entry to hear the new material that has not been released before. It's interesting to see how Linkin Park as a band will go forward after this. Will they start with a new singer and carry on, or is that it, they're done? But I it's kind of like Queen really struggled to find someone to fill the role of Freddie Mercury, and I think this is going to be the same with Linkin Park. They're going to find it's hard to put somebody in his place.
Mm.
But yeah, interesting, very, very cool that that is coming out. It just makes me feel fucking old because I'm 38 next. So that album came out when I was nearly 18. I was nearly 18 when Meteora came out, just for reference. And it's 20 years old. So, fucking hell. So, next up, we're dipping into gaming, and this was Dolph's topic. Live service games seem to be dying off.
Yeah, so this goes into relation to Crossfire X, which was a Xbox and possibly Windows 10 exclusive. So they made an announcement a couple of weeks ago, that they were going to shut down the service in May.
Right, well then you've kind of...
The multiplayer is going to be dead.
Yeah.
But it's also going to stop the single player as well.
Mm. Yeah. So you also need to take this from further off then, because you've got it further down the list again, since you're talking about it now, so...
Yeah, I'm just trying to look for the other games that have been disconnected, just to bear with me, because the link I sent was a video.
Yeah. But, I mean, off the top of my head, live service games aren't around anymore. They're discontinuing Back 4 Blood, which was the Left 4 Dead team's game after splitting from Valve.
Mm-hmm.
I know the Avengers game, that's shutting down, isn't it? That's going.
Yeah, Apex Legends Mobile is going.
Apex Legends Mobile, yeah, we talked about that.
Trying to find the other...
I mean, it makes sense, really. If it doesn't take off and the live service whole portion about it is they are making money off you playing it regularly. And if there isn't enough people to play it, they're not going to keep it open.
No, but live service games work if you release a properly working and well fleshed out product.
And you don't fucking making.
Anthem is a fucking prime example of that.
Oh, A to B, the fucking game.
Yeah, essentially.
Then Avengers, they went, oh, it's a live service game, but you can't play Spider Man. You got a Sony console? You can't play Spider Man if you haven't got Sony. And that fucked them for that. I think Back 4 Blood was okay, but it was kind of like, I just want to play Left 4 Dead. That's what Back 4 Blood made me feel like. I just wanted to play Left 4 Dead again.
Mm.
I've not played Crossfire, but from what I can tell, it looks like a Call of Duty-esque game. The annoying part is the non live element of the Avengers game isn't that bad. It's like the live service multiplayer online Destiny-esque stuff later on that is bad. And I don't know why they did that, but then I do know why they did that, because money, SpongeBob. We can't just release a single player game that doesn't work anymore. Cough, Dead Space, cough, fucking Jedi.
And that new that EA Star Wars said that as well was sold pretty well, despite being single player.
Yeah. And that's what annoys me. It's like they tell you it can't be done, or it's too hard, we can't make it work. And then, like, they do really well. And the Dead Space remake, fucking phenomenal. We'll talk about that later on, of course. But that doesn't have a lick of live service about it. That is all just there. And it was great. And I think that's the issue, is that everyone saw the live service model with, like, Fortnite and...
So, okay, Back 4 Blood is getting abandoned soon.
Yeah, I liked the idea of it, didn't like the execution. Like I said, it felt like Left 4 Dead.
Yeah, but Left 4 Dead 2 is still getting more concurrent players
a month. Left 4 Dead 2 was a fucking brilliant game. There's still the modding scene on that. It doesn't need to be live service. The modding scene alone makes that look amazing.
To give you an idea, the 24-hour peak of Back for Blood was about 3,300 people in the last 24 hours.
And that's what...
Left 4 Dead 2 is 35,000.
Because it's fucking great. Because what they did, which was brilliant, by the way, they released free the original survivors and the original maps from the first Left 4 Dead game into Left 4 Dead 2. With the updated, like, melee mechanics and stuff like that, and being able to use melee weapons. So, that alone made them, like, more thingy. Then they did, I think it was, like, 2 DLC they did for it that was paid. But then the modding community, I've played Left 4 Dead 2, where I've played Minecraft in Left 4 Dead 2. Like, the zombies are all Minecraft zombies, special infected are Minecraft mobs. You pick up, like, melee weapons, which are, like, diamond swords and shit. It's all really cool. And it's, like, that was just a guy who got bored and modded it. Back 4 Blood doesn't have that level of creativity behind it because people are just going, well, it's just Left 4 Dead 2. We have Left 4 Dead 2 at home. And it was cheaper. And I can play Minecraft in it.
So another live service game that got... removed from sale just 2 months off the launch was Konami's online murder mystery game Crime Site.
Didn't even know that was a thing.
I didn't know I heard of it either, but
there was that what was that one that got fucked over the like the medieval kind of World of Warcraft esque game. I think we talked about it last podcast.
Oh god.
You know which one I mean though, that's the annoying part.
Yeah, shit.
That's gone. That didn't even last 3 months.
Echo VR is going as well. That's essentially like I don't know, you like it's like essentially like well, it's kind of like Blitzball from Final Fantasy. Set your foot a disc around rather than a ball.
So it's Tron Disc, basically.
Essentially, yeah, like Tron Disc, but they called it Echo VR. I'll see if I can post a link to that later.
It doesn't even sound like a game you want to play. It's a very kind of name.
There's also Dragon Quest, The Adventure of Dai, Heroes Bond will be ending service on the 26th of April this year.
Dragon Quest Heroes, was it?
Dragon Quest, The Adventures of Dai, a Heroes Bond.
Oh, okay. Don't know what that is. All I've heard of is Dragon Quest Heroes and Dragon Quest Builders. So yeah, it's like if that game doesn't have any traction, it's fucked, basically, is what we're saying. And
yeah, there's another one, Knockout City. Season 9 is going to be their final season.
Hmm.
Didn't know anything about that.
Oh, I just realised I missed a topic.
It's free-to-play team-based multiplayer with cross-play on all platforms. It's like Dodgeball, but it's more hands-on, apparently.
Yeah. So the topic I missed, I'm going to quickly say it. The Tetris movie's out this year. We thought it was a joke, CGI, kind of, ha-ha, they've all got faces and they all talk. No. And apparently it's like a...
They brick and mortared it.
No,
It's like Pixels 2, Electric Boogaloo.
No. It's kind of like how... What was the Facebook film? Where it was like, oh, this is how it happened. We're telling the story. And they're telling the story of how Tetris was made, basically. It's probably not going to be very good because it's going to be very biopic more than it is anything else. So.
Another game getting axed, end of this month actually, is Babylon's Fall.
Was it. That was the fucking game. That was the game I was thinking of.
I'm currently got the video on mute and I'm just fucking racing through it every 5 seconds. Okay, so. From the February the 3rd, I found out a little snapshot. So, live service games that are based in Canada the last weekish. This is from the 3rd of February. So, you've got Apex Legends Mobile, Battlefield Mobile, Crime Site, Crossfire X, Dragon Quest, Adventures of Dai, Echo VR, Knockout City, Love Live, School Idol Festival. Although, that doesn't count. And there's Rumbleverse, Babylon's Fall, Back 4 Blood. yeah, there's a lot of games been axed just from February alone. Or announced in February.
Yeah.
And yet live service games are the way forward, apparently. If you make them fucking fully complete and don't cut pieces out of it, then yeah.
Yep. So, next topic. Nintendo Direct dropped.
Yeah, there's a big list of games there.
I do. I've got them here. Some of that I can see, some I can't. So, they shadow dropped Metroid Prime Remastered, which I have. I paid the £35 for it. It's really good. I'm really stuck at the moment on it, but still, it's really good. It looks really good.
Yep.
The guys who did the remaster of it went back and actually changed some of the texture and details to make it look really fucking great. Someone did a side-by-side of the original game and then the Switch version, and holy shit, it looks so much better, even though it held up really well. Then they did a trailer for Zelda Tears of the Kingdom, Pikmin 4. Bob will be happy about that. She loves herself a bit of Pikmin. Yep. Splatoon 3's first expansion pass, which includes the original like hub area from the first Splatoon game, and then later on there's going to be some DLCs for a new story mode.
Inkopolis and something else, wasn't it?
Yeah, I can't remember. Was it Order Up or Second Order or something like that?
Or Side Order.
Side Order, that was it. Then they announced that if you have Nintendo Online, you get the Game Boy emulator. If you have the expansion version of that, that has like the Mega Drive and the Nintendo 64, you also get the Game Boy Advance on top of there.
Ooh.
Professor Layton, new game, New World of Steam. Looks to be 3D. Looks crazy. Kirby's Return to Dreamland Deluxe, which we've already seen some of. Disney's Island of Illusion, or Illusion Island, which is like the pseudo sequel to Mickey's World of Illusion from the like Mega Drive days. Advance Wars 1 and 2 Reboot Camp got announced again because they delayed the shit out of it. I was going to buy it last year and then they delayed it the fuck out of it. Cereza and the Lost Demon, which is a Bayonetta prequel.
Bayonetta no original, wasn't it?
Sorry?
Wasn't it a Bayonetta original?
It's like a sequel. It shows basically how Bayonetta is Bayonetta as a kid. And she doesn't have like powers to fight. She has like different things, and the Lost Demon is kind of like her fighting thing. From what I saw, it's very weird. There's Octopath Traveler 2. Rain Code. No idea what that is. I can't read that one. Is it Baton Kaitos 1 and 2 HD Remaster? I think it's an RPG, Japanese jobby.
Probably, judging by the font.
Minecraft Legends, which I still really don't know what the fuck that's about. It seems to be like almost like Dragon's Quest. Not Dragon's Quest. Dragon's... The one that was like Mass Effect.
Oh.
Dragon something. Kind of like that, but Minecraft.
Yeah, I know you're on about it, I just can't think.
Yeah, it's not coming to me. Samba de Amigo, Party Central. So they brought back the shaky, but I don't think you're going to get the actual maracas that plug into your Switch. Like you could do with the Dreamcast. You had maracas and you shook them. Ghost Trick Phantom Detective. I've played the mobile version of that. This is a HD remaster of the mobile version.
That looks like Etrian Odyssey, possibly.
That sounds correct, yep. That's a HD remaster jobby.
Bloody fonts, man, seriously.
I know. Mario Kart 8 Deluxe Booster Course. You get one new course and you get Birdo.
Ooh.
Xenoblade Chronicles 3 expansion pack. That's a new bit of story DLC. Fantasy Life. I can't read that.
The Girl Who Steals Time.
Okay. Yeah. Fire Emblem Engage expansion pack. We Love Katamari Reroll Royal Reverie.
Yeah.
See, I've got a Katamari game on the Switch. I don't know.
Any good?
It's pretty fun. But I don't know if that's this that's been redone, or I don't know. Fashion Dreamer. Okay. Then there's Deca Police, which is like a weird Japanese anime kind of thing. Then there's Dead Cells Return to Castlevania. That one sounds interesting, because Dead Cells is a Castlevania, Metroidvania-esque game. And they've managed to get a crossover with Castlevania. So, that's going to be interesting.
Yeah.
Sea of Stars, don't really know what that one is. Blank, not really sure what that is. They discussed more stuff to go with Disney Dreamlight Valley, which I imagine will also die in the next couple of months, because I don't really see people playing it and no one really gives a shit about it. They're trying, though. They're really trying to add things to it, but I don't know. Omega Strikers, I think that's a sports game.
Mm-hmm.
Tales of Symphonia Remastered. Mega Man Battle Network Legacy Collection.
Excuse me.
Excuse you. Harmony, the Fall of... Can't read that bit.
Reverie.
Fall of Reverie. No idea. Something Power Pros.
Baseball. Power Pros, what I think.
Okay. Tron Identity, which is a new Tron game. And then Have a Nice Death, which I'm pretty sure is some kind of weird puzzle action game. So there was a lot announced. Advance Wars 1 and 2, Metroid Prime, Zelda, Pikmin, Kirby, obviously, really good games coming forward. Katamari, always fun to play.
If you like Metroid, a few games in there that's taking my interest.
Well, you the Japanese RPGs for you, isn't it?
Well, yeah, I like my Japanese RPGs. Not enough on Xbox, unfortunately. No. That needs to change.
But I want Advance Wars 1 and 2. I did pre-order it and then had to cancel it because it just didn't turn up. And I was like, fuck that, I'm not waiting that long. I think it's now like June or something.
Yeah.
I've got the Booster Course pass anyway, so I'm getting all the Mario Kart stuff as it trickles through. Minecraft Legends, don't care about enough. I like Minecraft, don't give a shit about the spin-offs really. Dungeons was okay, but not what I wanted. Sea of Stars, I kind of want that to be a space exploration kind of game. Not quite sure. Doesn't sound like it will be.
No.
Let me have a look at it. See if I can find out what it is. Sea of Stars. So it's on PC, or it's coming on PC. It is a turn-based RPG.
Okay.
So yes, I colour me disinterested on that one.
Mm.
The Professor Layton stuff I've never been a big fan of, but I might try it. And Mickey, not bothered. We'll have to see out what the other stuff does and doesn't do when it comes out.
Yeah.
Currently kind of meh. But it showed some really cool stuff. The Zelda trailer, for instance, was fucking great. Mm. The only annoying part is people are kind of getting a bit pissy that Zelda is going to be £70 or £69.99 on release.
Yeah, that's how much content there is in the base game.
But the thing is, a Zelda game usually is massive. Breath of the Wild is massive.
Yeah, other than Mario, Zelda is one of the flagship games of Nintendo, though, isn't it?
Well, yeah, when you think Nintendo, you think Mario, Zelda, Kirby, Metroid, Star Fox.
Yeah.
So, I'm loving the fact, though, that I think that it's going to be worth it. That it's going to be worth £70 because of the hours of content. And you know that Nintendo don't release games half-baked. They've never released a game half-baked. They delay the fuck out of them if they know it's not going to be ready. I think they did with actual Tears of the Kingdom. It was meant to be coming out like the back end of 21, and they delayed.
Mm. I think it got like two or three delays. It wasn't meant to be released, was it October last year? And they pushed it back again?
I think it was initially announced in like 2019, late 2019, early 2020.
Yeah, they pushed it back a few times, didn't they?
Yeah, obviously COVID slowed it down and stuff.
Oh, yeah, of course. Slowed most things down.
Yeah, but I find that first-party Nintendo games usually release like with brilliant loads of content. It's never glitchy or out. Like the Kirby game I've got, I bought it physical. It's not had an update. I've looked for an update online. It's still in its 1.0. And I've not seen a glitch or any kind of thing that would fuck it up and cause issues. So, props to Nintendo. People might say the money-grabbing bastards that just shill the same old shit over and over again, but they make sure that game works. The only issues that have arisen is, like, Pokemon, but that's not really a first-party title. That is Game Freak.
Yeah.
A subsidiary of Nintendo. It's not actually their actual studios they're in built. So, yeah, I'm looking forward to the Nintendo games this year. I think they definitely was ambitious with the Pokemon games, and that's why it's had so many problems. But the Zelda games, they know not to fuck with that. They know not to fuck with that, because if they fuck up a Zelda game, oh boy, people are going to be pissed.
People are going to fucking grab their pitchforks.
Yep, and the fact that it's on the Breath of the Wild engine and it looks to be the Breath of the Wild map heavily modified would work really well, because it means that that is a stable running build of the game. It's kind of like how they did Majora's Mask and Ocarina of Time. Ocarina of Time was built from the ground up. Majora's Mask was built in a year and off the Ocarina of Time engine, and used a lot of Ocarina of Time assets. And it's one of the best Zelda games that people will go to. I don't like the time travel mechanic. I kind of hate being pressured. But it's one of the best Zelda games of all time. It's like it's Ocarina of Time, Majora's Mask, and then like Link to the Past. Are up there as like the top three all-time greatest Zelda games when people vote them. So it's not unheard of for them to do similar and reuse assets. And with this is like a continuation of the Breath of the Wild continuity. So of course it makes sense to have like the same map, because they're in the same fucking kingdom. But the differences look to be massive, like sky islands and being able to make vehicles very like people have already said that it's like Banjo-Kazooie Nuts and Bolts did it first, like you build your own car to like drive across Hyrule Field on and stuff like that. So that sounds interesting and hilarious, and I know that when speedrunners and glitches get hold of it, they're going to make some ridiculous fucking things. But yeah, that's like my highlight of the Nintendo Direct was that, and then Advance Wars is a close second, because I really want to play that. I've got the first one on my Game Boy Advance and I like it, and I want to play both, and having them like up-resed and all shiny and HD would be amazing. So next up is me, and I've rambled fucking loads here. So this is from comicbook.com. So, the Max Payne 1 and 2 remake gets a new update. So, we did talk about it roughly when it came out, the news of it. So, last year, Remedy Entertainment and Rockstar announced remakes for Max Payne and Max Payne 2 in a single package for the PlayStation 5, Xbox Series X and S, and PC. It's been a while since that announcement, and fans can't be blamed for wondering how things are progressing. Remedy Entertainment recently provided updates for several games via financial statement release, including titles like Alan Wake 2, Codename Condor, and the Max Payne 1 and 2 remake. Unfortunately, it doesn't seem that a lot of progress has been made on the remake, but the update makes it clear that the project is a major priority for the studio. So before I read this, you've got to understand as well that the first two games were written, what, like 20 years ago now?
Yeah. Fair time ago.
Yeah. And there's going to be a lot of things they can improve and fix and make the game run better thematically. So, the statement is, Max Payne 1 and 2 Remake continues in the concept stage. The project has made good progress. We are looking forward to bringing this beloved character alive again into a new console generation to a new generation of fans. The financial statement reads. The reason why I preloaded that statement is, it doesn't sound like they've got really far, but the fact that they're doing a lot of concept means that they are very serious about making sure this is right. Because you don't want to piss off the old fans, and you want to keep new fans interested. And the old fans would probably say, hey, some of this is quite clunky in the old stuff, but the new stuff, like Max Payne 2 and 3 onwards, like the bullet dodge was one button, it didn't take any of your like power to slow down time.
Mm-hmm.
So I imagine that Max Payne 1 and 2 would be running where shot dodge never takes anything from the time compass that you have, that is your bullet time.
Excuse me.
But carrying on, one positive thing about the statement sounds like Remedy sees these remakes as an opportunity to resurrect the Max Payne franchise. It's been more than a decade since the release of Max Payne 3. Fuck, really? But if Max Payne, yes. But if Max Payne 1 and 2 remake proves successful enough, it could lead to a wholly new entries into the series. I don't know about that. Max Payne 3 kind of definitively left him alone, so if you brought him back now, it'd be really interesting to see how that goes. Mm. It remains to be seen whether that proves to be the case, but there is a precedent for that sort of thing. Hopefully Max Payne 1 and 2 Remake can introduce a lot of newcomers to the series. The original Max Payne released in 2001... 22 years ago.
Christ.
Earning strong reviews, resulting in two sequels. So, yeah. You can play them on backwards compatibility via your Xboxes.
Mm-hmm.
Excuse me.
Bless you.
And you can get them off the PlayStation Store as well. But the... I think the Series X and S versions of the backwards compatibility, they run smoother because they have an uncapped frame rate and will take advantage more of the processing power of the Xbox Series X, whereas the PlayStation Store, I think it's just an emulation of the original game. But I'm interested. I really want them to make this and make it right. That's the one thing that wholly pisses me off about remakes is when they do it wrong.
Yeah.
It's a video. Fuck. So, the next thing is the DualSense Edge controller review from Digital Foundry. I'm hoping if I click on this, I might be able to find a article. Shush. God damn it, there isn't one. Okay, so basically, TLDR, they rightly ragged on the fact that it only has 4 hours worth of battery life, whereas the actual DualSense controllers you get with your PlayStation 5 has 8 to 12. They said for £200, it's competing it's against...
It's fucking insane.
Yeah, it's competing a lot of like third-party ones, which some of them are like hair trigger all the time, so they don't have that kind of flexibility to change your trigger stop and how far you want to press the button, sort of thing. But then they also pointed out that the Xbox Elite controller has a longer lasting battery, has four buttons on the back instead of two that you get with the DualSense Edge, and is about £40 to £50 cheaper. That essentially does the same thing that you would do on Xbox and PC. Because here's the big caveat, right? As of this podcast, I don't know if they're going to do it, Sony does not have a way for you to program the back buttons of a DualSense Edge controller without it being connected to a PlayStation 5.
Yeah, you can't remap the extra buttons, can you?
Nope. So if you are using it for a PC or intend to use it for a PC, you're fucked. Until Sony have the foresight to beta and release a PC version of the app that they have on the PlayStation 5, you ain't going to make anything out of the extra buttons and features on the DualSense Edge.
I mean, they could probably redesign the controller, have a very interchangeable battery pack. You know, that'll obviously negate the 4-hour battery life, in a sense, if you think about it.
Well,
while one pack's charging, you can swap it out while you use the other.
This first £200 controller, the only like Bravo feature to it is you can replace the thumbsticks. Like the actual whole compartment, you can flick it up, you can flick a switch, and it pushes the right or left control analog stick out fully, and you can buy for £20 another replacement analog stick to then
Same way, I can't just have a replaceable battery, but then I realised £200 for a controllable battery life is going to deteriorate over time. Mm-hmm. Oh, look, another £200 you can get from us.
Yeah. Well, also the fact that with all the gubbins and extra shit they put into this controller, they actually don't have space for a bigger battery power pack, which is why it's a smaller one. So I love the one step forward, two steps back that Sony like to do. It's like, yeah, it's actually quite genius to have it that you can buy modular parts for it, like the thumbsticks. But you didn't try and make the battery life better than the original one? I don't know. I feel like this is a we could shit on Sony kind of thing. But then again, it's like we don't get it. We don't get what they're trying to do. And we don't get what Sony fans are going to say about it. I imagine the diehard PlayStation Davids will be like, oh, just plug it in, forehead. And you just have to deal with it. Plugged in.
Well, you get the problem of all one-day controllers when you've got your cable charging and you've got headphones in. The whole... the buzzing while you're on the fucking headphones.
Well, you want to hope that it doesn't do that on a fucking £200 controller. You want to fucking hope that. Can you imagine if it did? Holy fuck.
I mean, if I bought a £20 controller, I'd at least like to know how to take the batteries out. Oh, wait.
To be honest, you can't do it with the Elite controllers either, so that's kind of like par for the course.
Yeah, true. That's why I like the standard controllers to place batteries as you need to.
Yeah.
I don't like the fact of, you know...
Mind you, none of Sony's controllers from, like, PlayStation 3 onwards have had removable batteries. They've all been built in. So if your controller fucked, your controller fucked.
That's another new controller, please.
Yep. So, I don't know. You can argue the fact on that, but if you are in the PlayStation environment, you are used to having your controllers die because the batteries are fucked and you have to buy new ones. Or continuously run it wired and hope you don't pull the controller out by accident.
Yep.
So, I mean, that's the thing. Like, people are like, oh, I don't like it. You have to buy batteries to your Xbox controller. It's like, yes, but you can also buy rechargeable batteries for your Xbox controller. It's like, yes, they're £25 a pop, but it saves you a lot of battery-powered life, and if you do fuck your battery up, you can still just buy some AAs while you wait for the new one before you like save up for the new rechargeable battery pack, and you can still play it.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't have a long enough charger for your PlayStation controller, or your PlayStation is in a very out of place area where it's hard for you to play the game on a wire, you're kind of limited to what you can do until you buy a brand new controller. And if you don't have the money for it, well, rip bozo. So, I like to point out that we do have stuff about the Microsoft subpoena thing, but we just decided not to use it this week just because we're still waiting for that extra to come back from that.
Yeah.
And it'll be a lot more funnier than, hey, Sony were like kind of whinged about it, which they did, and went, oh, we ain't got enough time. But because it's a legal subpoena, they have to give this information. So I think one of the memes I saw was, I think it was you, Dolph, you put it, Microsoft being a hornet's nest, Sony jabbing the hornet's nest, getting the bees coming after him, and then having the Pinocchio nose going, look, they're being aggressive. And now it's kind of like backfiring on them because they have to basically show what they do legally. And any Joe Schmo third-party person can see that Sony don't exactly play by the rules they're saying Microsoft have to play by.
Yeah, don't forget the new Hogwarts game that just recently released last week. Sony got a 1-year exclusivity to a mission and, a building, essentially. Ocean.
Why is that? It's a single-player game. Why do you need exclusivity on a single-player game? What the fuck is wrong with you? Oh, yeah. You can't play this.
Wouldn't be surprised that's in part of the subpoena as well.
Well, I hope it is. I hope they fucking... I
mean, PC and Xbox will get it eventually for free, as far as I'm aware, but it's just for now.
You're cutting content out because Sony went, money, here's money if you don't give this to them. Whoa.
The funny thing is, though, on PC, though, people are already trying to find mods to bypass the code on it to play on PC.
Good! I hope they fucking do. I hope they fucking break that shit. Because it's annoying. It's stupid. They shouldn't be doing that.
Well, they do it with every year with Call of Duty, don't they?
Exactly. Do you know what the exclusivity was on, like, Xbox when they did exclusivity deals?
It's just like a few months.
It was like a month on Call of Duty stuff. And on Battlefield, it was 2 weeks.
Sony, go now. Let's do a whole entire year. When the new Call of Duty comes out, we'll do it again.
It's stupid. It's stupid. And then the fear of missing out shit. Oh, we've got to buy it on PlayStation because we'll miss out on all this extra shit for a year. No, mate, you don't. No one fucking plays that mode anyway. And all it does is give us a reason to go, oh, well, fucking, what's the point? We're just like, we'll just play whatever. I don't give a shit that mode's missing. I don't know if they actually did it on the new Modern Warfare 2 or not. I don't know what's
missing. I don't think they did, no.
And if there is something missing, I've not noticed. Couldn't give a fuck. But
could that be the reason why half their games are unfinished? Because they're too busy spending all their bloody money trying to buy exclusives on stupid things.
Yeah, well. But so, hey, fuck EA. But then not fuck EA. So, fuck EA, Dolph.
So, this is from IGN.com. A secret single-player Titanfall game reportedly cancelled by EA. Electronic Arts is currently in the midst of a slew of cancellations and closures, the latest being a previously unknown project codenamed TFL, or Titanfall Legends. A secret single-player game set in the Titanfall and the Apex Legends universe. Not much is known about Titanfall Legends, save that it was reportedly directed by Mohamed Alavi.
Pronunciations may vary.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Who served as designer on the Titanfall games amongst other projects. Alavi.
So part
of EA early last year. The cancellation coincides with the closure of the mobile version of Apex Legends and Battlefield, as well as the shuttering of Industrial Toys. According to Bloomberg, roughly 50 developers were affected by the Titanfall Legends cancellation. EA will reportedly try to place them in other positions within the company. Titanfall's last solo outing was in 2016. It initially sold poorly, but subsequently gained a following thanks to its superb single-player shooter design.
It was really good.
Yeah, I enjoyed Titanfall's 2, a single campaign. It's rare that a sequel evolves on every part of the original concept so consistently for the better. But Titanfall 2 is that exception. It feels good movement is the foundation for both the engaging action and platforming gameplay of its strong campaign and its over-the-top competitive multiplayer. With bolstered progression, customization, variety, and a fleshed-out story, Respawn has made good on its original vision with Titanfall 2. And bottom line, it's just damn fun to play.
That was their review at the time, by the way, for IGN.
It was succeeded by 2019's Apex Legends, a battle royale that cut the mechs but retained the setting. Coming less than a year after its original release, was a surprise to observers, but EA hinted that it may return. As for Titanfall, a proper sequel seems further away than ever. We really do need a, like, a Titanfall 3.
Yeah. It's like, oh, we cut out the mechs. Why? That was one of the best things about it. You know the best thing about it that I loved was the Titanfall 1 mechanics for mechs. So you had a shield and you had hull point. So it was kind of like you played Halo. It was Call of Duty on the ground, Halo in the mech. That's how I originally called it, and I originally...
So if your shields drops, you could take cover and have them recharge.
Yeah. In Titanfall 2, they did away with the shields. You could pick up, like, battery packs from dead mechs and put them in your thing and get a temporary shield. But it didn't actually... You had hull points, that was it. So you could destroy a mech really easily. And I kind of feel like the multiplayer stuff of it kind of pissed me off a bit. But the single-player stuff was really fucking fun.
Yeah, I only dabbled in the multiplayer a little bit, but just getting, you know, just put into sweats all the time. You know, it's like, you know what, no point.
Hmm.
There was no skill-based matchmaking. It was just literally, you just got thrown into whoever was in queue.
Oh, God, I got shit on by people on time.
Oh, yeah, first few games, I got put into games with, like, players, like, level 30 plus, and I'm like, wow, really?
I enjoyed the first one ridiculously much. Like, the single player campaign was basically multiplayer.
Yeah.
But being able to, like, run around and be your own mech and do stuff, you didn't actually necessarily win. The story had, like two or three endings, depending on how you did through the story as you played the campaign. There's no way in hell you'd be able to get a game nowadays.
No.
There's not enough players, but I really want to go play that original game again. But I had a look in the comments, and literally somebody said, had it been marketed right, Titanfall could have competed with Call of Duty. And I agree. It was made by ex-fucking Call of Duty developers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it was at that time where Call of Duty emulated the fucking mechanic for running, wall running and exosuit jumping and stuff. They aped the shit out of it. So for EA to come, it's not really doing anything, fuck it. It's like, if Call of Duty is aping what you do, you make another game, you make that work. So I'm hoping they bring Titanfall 3 out, because that's what annoyed us. Apex Legends was meant to be like a spin-off game from Titanfall 3. Titanfall 3 was meant to be in production, and then Apex Legends came out. Apex Legends took off. Titanfall 3 kind of disappeared. And then finding out that was cancelled. Fuckers. Absolute fuckers. Fuck EA. Fuck you guys. But then, now I have to say, but not fuck you. Fuck you, EA, for telling me having to tell you that I don't fucking hate you this much this week. Because Dead Space 3, I completed it yesterday. Really fucking good. It's exactly what you want from a remake. It is a remake, by the way. It's not a remaster. It's a remake. There are differences throughout the game, but the story is the same.
From what I've seen you stream it, I think that giving Isaac a voice definitely changes the game up a massive amount.
It does. People have different roles. There is a twist that I cannot talk about unless you guys want me to spoil it.
Yeah, I'm not bothered.
I played the original, so I know more or less the story. Anyway.
It's a twist that is different from the original. So,
well, before you say the twist, do you know when you go from transit to transit?
Yeah.
Does it still spell out?
Yeah.
It still says that. Okay, I guess so.
But yeah. You have more like the Dead Space 2 kind of thing where they just pop up when you complete them. They don't actually have a title across the top.
Mm-hmm.
So, okay, I'm going to spoil Dead Space Remake now. So I'm going to say this is it, because all we're going to do next is do our Twitter handles, where you can find us, and thank you. So if you want to jump out here, thank you very much, guys. if you want to play Dead Space Remake and you don't want it to be spoiled, I implore you to jump out now, enjoy it for yourself, find the twist, come back and then listen to this later on. We're only going to talk about this anyway, and that's it. So yeah, thank you. Okay, have you gone?
Yep.
All right, okay. So you know when you get back to Aegis 7 and put the marker back?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, just remind me, right? Nicole was a hallucination the entire time in the original.
Yeah.
Okay, so in the remake, she's still a hallucination, but she's Dr. Elizabeth Cross, who you help out in the hydroponics. But she just... you hallucinate her as Nicole. So her being able to physically do things for you, you are hallucinating her as Nicole, and she's hallucinating you as her boyfriend who died, because that's part of the marker's plan. So when the twist comes along that Kendra is a EarthGov agent that's trying to secure the marker and put it somewhere safe and clear up the whole mess that's happened, she makes Isaac watch the entirety of the video you watch at the beginning of the game.
Mm-hmm.
And of course that's still the same. You see Nicole die, and then the veil of this Nicole that she's got a gunpoint in front of you turns into Dr. Elizabeth Cross, the one who helps you clear out the hydroponics and kill all the Weezers. So that was a really cool twist. Hammond, how did he die in the original?
Because
if I remember rightly, he is trying to help you just before you get on the Valor, and he gets murdered by two brutes. And then you have to take on two brutes. Mm. So the Kelly and crew have got a bit more of a story to him in this. So there's Johnson and Chen. Johnson gets blown up in the in the Kellyan when the ship explodes. They've now added extra to that. So necromorphs attack the shock drive. Whatever, I can't remember what it's called. I think it's a shock drive. They attack the shock drive reactor and it explodes. Kills Johnson. Flings you out the window and onto the deck. She's dead. You find later on the shuttle, but it doesn't have a shock drive. So you go onto the Valor. You yoink the shock drive out of there, but Hammond gets locked in the room with Chen, who was the first guy that gets killed in Dead Space. The Marine guy that comes in with Hammond and Kendra.
Yeah.
And they brutally murder him right in front of you, in front of the window, before you have to run for your life. He comes back as a necromorph. He gets locked in an airlock, gets flung into the escape pod that gets picked up by the Valor, and then he basically kills everyone on the ship. He converts them into the speedy fuckers. He also ends up in the shock generator room, where the shock drive is. Hammond's already there, about to pull the thing out. Chen drops in. It creates one of those biohazard containment things. A wall comes down. Chen gets blasted a bit by the shock drive, but like survives. Necromorph Chen. And Hammond's last act of being alive is to get stabbed by Chen and then push him into the shock drive and both get like fucking vaporized. So he has a completely different death, and he has actually a lot more story. And there's also little bits like, because you can talk, if the game doesn't want you to talk, they'll just cryo you. So is it Kine or Temple? I can't remember which one's the bad guy. He will, he does it like to you and somebody else. He has like kinesis, cryo even, that lasts forever or for ages, it seems. And the first time he meets you, he cryos you and then just walks around you and bad guy twirls his mustache at you. And then the second time, he blasts this engineer that's trying to stop him from doing, from like taking the marker away and trying to get him to put it back. You have a bigger dialogue with him, and then he slow-mo kills the guy. So he, it's like, oh, a stasis, that's what it's called. It's like death in stasis. Very slow, very painful. It's like, dude. So there's like lots of differences, but like the basic story is you go on the Ishimura, shit goes to shit. You look for Nicole. You don't find Nicole. You go put the marker back. You find out that Nicole, who's been helping you, has been dead the entire time, and you've been hallucinating her. You escape with your life. End of game. Apparently in New Game Plus there is collectible marker fragments, and if you collect all of them you unlock a different ending. The different ending is Isaac is in the ship at the end, and instead of getting the jump scare where Nicole is all bloodied and raw evil messing with his head because the marker influence has fucked up Isaac's mind at this point. He's there, no helmet on. There's marker scroll all over the inside of the shuttle pod. And it's like, oh, are we going home? And it's like Nicole talking to him. It's like, well, not yet. I've got a few things to do. I need to make you something first. It's like, I've got a gift. I'm going to make you a gift. And basically, it's alluding to the... In Dead Space 2, they used what was in his head to make another marker. And he made a marker. And it's kind of like that alluding to him making a marker. But off his own back rather than being forced by the unitologists and stuff on the Sprawl in the second game.
Yeah.
So it's kind of setting up like a second game. But as far as I'm aware, the canon ending is still the original ending. And the implication is that this bonus ending is a what-if ending. But people are like questioning its lore. It's like, is it going to be, if they make a Dead Space 2 remake, is that going to be the canon ending for the first game? That they've changed up the second game a bit. And I kind of want them to do Dead Space 2 remake now and Dead Space 3 remake, but make Dead Space 3 better.
Take out the fucking MTX of it, seriously.
Well, they can do that. They can do that.
Yeah.
There's no reason to leave that in.
I did remember reading a while back, you know, the much detested canon minigame?
Yeah, that's not a thing.
Oh, I can say, I remember reading that they removed it out for something a bit more
You easier. Basically go up to the cannon out in space, and you are floating around.
Mm-hmm.
You sync your weapon in your hand with the targeting system on the gun, on the ADS cannon, and as the rocks fall towards you, you aim at them with your gun and press the A button, which fires the cannon, not your gun.
Okay, so it's a bit more...
Yeah, basically, yeah, you're doing calibrations, basically. You're calibrating that to remember how to target things properly. And then once that bar's filled, that will then fire on its own, and you go to the next one, and you go to the next one.
So it's basically like using your gun as like a laser pointer kind of thing.
Yeah. The Leviathan, do you have to fire it twice? I can't remember.
I can't remember. It's been so long since I played Dead Space.
Because you fight it twice in the remake. You fight it once and it flushes it out in space. And then when you're doing the communications array, you find out that...
Is that something... that long tentacle thing?
Yeah, that's something else. The Leviathan is it's in that big cylinder and it fires balls and has big tentacles that slash at you.
Oh, I can't remember. It's been so long.
But you're in zero G, so...
No, I don't remember, unfortunately.
But yeah, you kill that, or you think you killed that, and you get rid of it. And then when you're trying to send a distress call to stop the Valor from coming in, try and warn them about the escape pod, you find out that there's something blocking the hatch to deploy the antenna.
Yeah.
You go outside, it's the Leviathan, it's hanging on. So then you use the asteroid cannons again, using the same mechanic where you use the laser pointer kind of thing to shoot the weak points in the thing, and it destroys the cannons after so many weak points you destroy. So you have to then move to different areas of the ship on this one area, to different cannons, and uncover them and fire them at the Leviathan until it eventually dies and lets go. So I don't think that was in the original. I don't remember that being in the original. But this is what I said. The whole extra things they do. There's two or three tentacle drag scenes now instead of one. Kendra's reveal as being the bad guy is a bit more shocking. But you can kind of see with some of the things she says during the game. It's they changed enough to make it fresh, definitely for a player who's not played it before, or a player who has played the original before and wants that nostalgia hit. I definitely saw the differences. I remember the original game very vividly. So, I also killed the hunter first time as well. You know that fucking killable hunter that you have to get in front of an engine and fucking vaporize the motherfucker?
Vaguely, yeah.
Yeah, I did it first time. I was so fucking happy.
Hey.
But, yeah, the whole game was great. I'm playing through the new game plus now as a kind of a secondary off-stream kind of thing, just for the achievements and stuff and for the fun of it. And to do side quests. Because there's side quests as well. You can find out more about Nicole and Isaac. You can do these side quests where it's her leaving hollow messages around and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And the achievement is called Make Us Whole. And it's do the Nicole side quest. You can get clearance levels to open different clearance things. The only thing I'd never got was the master clearance in the first run through. I did one gun. My playthrough on YouTube, by the way, which is up there now, that entire 4-session playthrough, I only ever used one gun the entire time and got the achievement for it.
Hey.
So that's doable. I was doing it on easy, but there is story mode, easy, normal, hard, and nightmare.
I'm guessing nightmare's one life, I'm assuming.
Nightmare is, I think you can save as many times as you want, but if you die, it scrubs your game.
No, it's deletes your save file.
Yeah.
Oof.
I think is it hard? I think that might be hardcore, not insanity. I can't remember which one it is. But there's also one that's so many saves. There's one that's three saves throughout the entire game. And then the other one is I think it's either you can save as much as you want, but if you die, it resets your save, or it's three saves, and if you die, it resets your save. So, but it was fun. I really enjoyed the game. I've talked about it for 20 minutes, 10, 15 minutes. I've spoiled a lot of it. So, like I said, if you were here to hear what I thought about the game, it was really fucking good. And I enjoy it. I know it's not in this current timeline. If you're not sure, wait for it to go on sale, because it's a really good game, but you are paying 60, 70 quid for it.
Yeah.
The only reason I picked it up because I'm fucking so hot for Dead Space. It was a really good series. I enjoyed everything about it, the nuances and stuff. I got Peng, by the way. I got the Peng achievement.
Yeah, you found the little...
Yeah.
What's it in the docking area?
No, it's not there.
Oh, what?
They moved it.
Ah, oh, shit.
But I found it incidentally.
Oh, okay.
There's meant to be like an audio log, which I missed, where Peng was. And it's like, ha, I found it. I can't believe I found it after all these years. I'm going to hide it somewhere safe. And then later on, I found the guy dead and I found where he'd hid it. But I didn't know that that was where it was. And I found it randomly. I'm like, fuck yeah, okay. Don't have to look for that achievement when I play New Game Plus.
So there's another little change.
Yeah. Well, like I said, though, changes for the good. Like the plasma rifle has a grenade launcher feature now instead of the fuck everything button.
You know, the cutter also has a set of things aflame as well, don't they?
That is a...
An upgrade.
An upgrade, yeah. So if you find the parts, these parts, extra parts, you can add stuff to them. So I think the plasma cutter had increased capacity and fire damage.
Incendiary, yeah.
Yeah. The plasma rifle had increased damage and increased clip size. And I haven't found the other upgrade yet for the other things. But I didn't use any of the other guns. Basically, I picked up the plasma rifle and went, oh shit, I should put that away because I'm doing one gun. But I have used a plasma rifle on this one, on the new game plus. It's okay. It's not as precise. But then again, you're using a military weapon to try and chop limbs off. Versus a cutting tool, which was designed to cut things. So, I can't wait to use the contact beam, though, because that's like a fucking beam laser now. It's like alternate fire is the concussion blast that you used to have, and the primary fire is just a beam laser. It's like walking around with a portable Elite Dangerous beam laser. In blue as well, which is the best colour.
Dolph again.
Yeah. Bye, Dolph. So that's it. I'm done talking about Dead Space. It's really good. Go buy it when you can get it. If you can get it second hand, if you can get it cheap. But play it. It's worth watching. Worth playing. Or watch my Let's Play. It's because it's like a movie as well. Just be aware that I save a lot because I'm me. But I think that's it. Anyone want to talk about anything else, or is that it?
Yes. Can't think of anything else really.
Okay, well let's take it on home then before you drop again.
Yeah, I'm gonna have a look at that to first see if I can find any problems with it. So if you wanna send me a message, you can reach me on Twitter at Dolphin Rapture. I'll answer most questions as long as I'm not religious, political, or racist. I won't do any of those. You can reach Star at Stardust2118 also on Twitter. She'll entertain the same kind of questions. You can reach Loz at LozG1985, also on Twitter, or wherever the fuck you may find it. You know, you might get lucky. You might be Loz on Pornhub. Who knows?
Maybe.
If you want to send us a message to the Spartans and Pajamas Twitter handle, you can do so at SIP Podcast Crew. That's big S, small I, big P, and all lowercase Podcast Crew. And yeah, I think that's about it, really. There's only just three of us to... really good Twitter handles out too.
Okay, so as we're doing this, I'm just rolling through my phone. So, you know, I Am Legend. With Will Smith.
Will Smith, yeah.
So, the original ending, the theatrical ending, Will Smith dies. His character dies.
There's an alternate, though, isn't there?
I Am Legend 2 follows the alternate ending. Where he doesn't die. So they're now basically making it so it's canon that the second ending, the alternate ending, was the original ending, and the original ending is not canon.
Why?
Because they wanted to make money, SpongeBob. I'll put this in for next podcast. We'll put this in for next podcast. We'll carry on closing it down. I just thought this was funny enough to quickly mention. So yeah, that has been episode 122 of the Smarties in Pyjamas podcast. Thank you everybody who came to listen today. And if you were part of the people who enjoyed Dead Space and didn't mind my take on the spoils at the end, cool, thank you. And if you have your own things you want to discuss with me, drop me a tweet. Let me know what you thought of the Dead Space remake, and what the best changes were in that game for you. But yeah, okay, we're donezo. I'll catch you all next time. Thank you very much. We'll see you all next. Goodbye.
Bye.
Bye.